Today we're kind of wrapping up this two-part series, starting fresh part two, we're in the book of Colossians. Last week we were in Colossians chapter two, and this week we're in Colossians chapter three. And I'd like Pastor Gary's my reader this morning. Give him a round of applause. Pastor Gary, hey. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Pastor Gary.
Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory.
Paul's saying to the church at Colossae, and this is the church he's writing to. Remember, at this time, the church was a small, clustered community of people. They were not accepted among the Jews. They were not accepted among the Romans. They were these individuals who were battling, going through this great battle, seeing great victories, filled with the presence of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and yet they had strongholds they had to battle. And in this case, Paul is starting out this chapter writing to the church, and he's saying, listen, set your sights high. Too often we set our sights too low. We limit God, or we take a point of view. Someone says something to us, and rather than thinking whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is of a good report, we think something negative. And we walk through a doctor says, you've got cancer, and rather than thinking, oh, hallelujah, God is going to get me through this, we think, oh my, I'm going to die. You know, the boss says, well, you know what, I just don't have the money to provide, to give you a raise, so you're just going to have to live at the wage that you're at, and we're like, oh man, what in the world's going on, rather than saying, God, I'm going to see you supply for me. What an amazing opportunity to see you supply for me. Somebody takes a bad attitude toward us, and our immediate response is, oh, well, I'll just write them off. I don't need to have anything to do with them, rather than saying, God, what an amazing opportunity for you to build a bridge here in an impossible relationship situation. God, how are you going to do this? Our sights are set too low because we serve a great God who is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all I could hope or ask. In our world, if you're in business or you're thinking about doing a rather large purchase, we're told to create an 18-month to 2-year plan. It used to be 3 years to 5 years, but life has changed and technology is changing so quickly that it's gone to an 18-month to 2-year plan. If you plan for 3 years, you'll never do it because it's just too far out, too many things will change. From the moment you're hired, you're told to start planning for retirement, to set your sights on retirement. You know, for a lot of 21, 22-year-olds fresh out of college, they don't want to think about retirement. But we've got to set our sights on those kind of things. If you're single, you're spending a great deal of your time, whether you know it or not, preparing for your mate, trying to look your best and do your best, only to deceive your mate once you get married. It's the truth. It's the truth. When you're dating, I don't care who you are. You only see the best, you know. And I'm just telling the truth and shaming the devil up here and getting myself in all kinds of trouble this morning. Yeah. My apologies to anybody who owns a Fox's franchise. If somebody in here owns a Fox's franchise, I'll go out and I'll buy some pizza. I won't eat it, but I'll buy it. If you're looking for a promotion in a job, you spend your time studying and preparing and doing everything you can, getting further education to get that promotion, you know, along that line. And there are a lot of things like that, and we spend our focuses on that. But what happens if our focus is solely on that thing? We will achieve that thing, because whatever you set your sights to, you will end up there. The problem is, will you end up there as good as God wants you to get there? Or it will only be as good as what you do? What about eternity? You know, Paul's talking here about heaven and about the stuff of this world. Let's kind of look at it a different way. How many of you remember growing up and for Christmas wanting this one special toy. How many of you remember, you know, Cabbage Patch dolls, what were those little stuffed animals by Ty, Beanie Babies, you know, Tickle Me Elmos, you know, think about all the, you know, all those things. My generation, it was, you know, guns and Hot Wheels and, you know, all kinds of things like that. And then think about with me for a second, if that doesn't float your boat, in high school or in college or, you know, right out, that one special person that you wanted to date. And you did your best to try to date them, and maybe you did date them for a while, but they're not the one that you're with now. Or guys, maybe it was a car that you wanted as you know, as a teen. We had an experience over the last couple of weeks as we were our car was getting some warranty work done, and they gave us a Dodge Charger as a rental vehicle. See, you think it's for me? It's really for Paige. Because she was driving it the most. Thank God it snowed and we had to trade it in for something front-wheel drive. No, she was enjoying it. But it's one of those things. But if you think about that, where are they now? You know, the toys in the trash. You're not even in the relationship with that person. And that dream car that they bought as a teenager or as a 20-something is rusted. And, you know, it's all wiped out. I couldn't believe when I walked through the dealership and I looked and I saw a Chevy Impala there for $34,000. I'm like, a Chevy Impala? $34,000? That's 2 years of my kids' education, college education. $34,000? Holy smoke. Once again, what about eternity? You might be saying, well, I'm saved and I know where my eternity is going. But are you focused on your future with the Lord? Living your life like your future is really in God's hands. That's part of the challenge. Are you living your life? Paul is saying here, set your mind on things above, not on the stuff of the earth. Set your mind on heaven. Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Keep your focus up here, because if you don't keep your focus up here, you'll settle for second best. You'll settle for what is the best that you can do. And if you keep your eyes on the Lord, and you're like, God, I want to use every skill, every talent, every ability, all that I am for you. I want to glorify you in all that I am. I mean, you can work at Walmart for Jesus. You can, you know, build a house for Jesus. You can rebuild a car for Jesus. You can run an accounting firm for Jesus. You can do, you know, anything you put your hands to, anything, any gift that you have, as long as you're using it to the best of your ability, giving it to God, he will be glorified and honored by it. Okay? That's what we need to keep in mind. We honor God when we take our skills, our talents, and our abilities, and we use them to the best we can, giving them to God every day. Like I said last week, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, anyone who desires to follow after me must take up his cross daily and follow me. When we're daily saying, God, here I am again. God, take today. Use it for your honor and your glory. Everything I do, when I walk into that office, when I walk onto the job, when I go into the store, when I you know, take care of my kids today, whenever, you know, I'm talking to my spouse today, Lord, use it for your honor and your glory. And then it becomes the best that God can be. We see God move in and through our lives. Here's the way that Paul says our lives will be functioning if we're heavenly minded. I want to jump down to verse 12 through 15 of Colossians chapter 3.
Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace, and always be thankful.
This is part of God's great plan for you. The Apostle Paul's saying here that if you're really living this life, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to know that you're loved. See, when we know that we're loved, when we truly know that our spouse loves us, when we truly know that our children love us, when we truly know that people around us really love us, we can go through a lot of muck and mire. When we truly know that God loves us and we truly believe that, we can walk through all kinds of stuff and know, you know what? It doesn't matter. There's a God in heaven who loves me. And I don't care what you say or what you do, God loves me. And I'm getting from here to there. And guess what? If you're going to be a jerk to me, I'm going to win you to Jesus. Amen. Because I'm going to let the love of God pour through me into your life. Yeah. When the Chinese Revolution took place in the 1940s, there were only 1 million Christians in China. Today, under communism, there are over 100 million Christians in China. Those Christians said, listen, I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what kind of persecution comes. We're going to let the love of God define who we are. Secondly, Paul is saying here, we should be walking in mercy, forgiveness, and freedom. There's a freedom that comes from being forgiven and from forgiving others. It says if you're Christians, as you're walking as Christians, you can walk in mercy, you can walk in forgiveness, and you will have freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Today, I'm going to talk about a few things a little bit later on that the Apostle Paul talks about here that keep us from walking in that freedom, even as Christians. It says, walking in harmony with our brothers and sisters, which means being loved. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you love me, whether you know it or not. And as the body of Christ, okay, you guys are getting too loving here. Always supporting others and being supported by others. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know what, you got to support me. Because you're my brother or sister in the Lord. That's part of the body of Christ. That's as we're Christians. That's what it says. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying if you're walking this walk, then you know that you're loved. If you're walking this walk, then you can walk in mercy and forgiveness and the freedom that comes with that. And if you're walking this walk, you will know that you're being supported by your brothers and sisters, that you're being loved by your brothers and sisters. Too often, what we do is we pick on each other. Denny Kramer calls it Christian cannibalism. The Apostle Paul said, quit devouring one another. It's the truth. For every word of encouragement or compliment that I get, there's at least 10 criticisms. Out of the love of Christ. I love Jesus. God bless you. That's not just here. I'm saying generally in life. So don't look around and say, who's criticizing a pastor? I'm going to beat you with a stick because I love you. Always having an attitude of gratitude. See, the world doesn't want us happy. So when you start living as Christ, people are going to criticize. You know, people in the world are going to criticize. They're going to attack. They're going to attack who you are and what you do. And it says that as walking as a Christian, our challenge is to always have an attitude of gratitude. To know that we are fulfilling, that everything that we have came from God. And that he will always supply. Say with me, he will always supply.
He will always supply.
Because that's the truth. That's the truth. And you know what? If I've got something that I need him to supply, and I'm not seeing a supply come right now, what he'll do is he'll supply patience for me to wait. He'll give me the strength to wait. He'll give me the hope to realize that it's coming, even though I don't see it right this moment. He'll give me the hope. And we'll get through it. And then he will supply. But sometimes our waiting is about letting other people see that we can wait. And that we can trust him. And that they need to trust him as well. And that's where you get the criticism. People saying, well, if your God was really so great, you know, he'd have got you out of this situation. Are you related to Job's wife? God, I need that pillar of salt thing right now for Lot's wife in Jesus' love. always being grateful. Always being grateful, knowing that God's going to supply. Folks, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. He's going to supply. He's going to supply. He will meet your needs. It's His promise. It's His word. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, the full fruit of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit will be working through us, fulfilling all of our dreams that you have in your heart. Having real joy, real peace, real love, real power, real authority. This is the way God expects us to live our lives. That's God's expectation for us. Why do we live so far below it? Because we choose our own fleshly desires over God's plan for our lives. We choose to do our best rather than getting our focus on things above rather than things of the earth. We choose to worry and be anxious, to get bent out of shape. We choose to believe that we're not forgiven. We choose to believe that we got to carry around all this garbage, and we choose to carry around garbage toward other people's lives. And that's not God's plan. Say with me, that's not God's plan. God's plan for me, say with me, God's plan for me, is to have real joy, real peace, real love, power, and authority, and to overcome all things. There was a show that was on, it was either TLC or DIY, one of those channels with three letters. It used to be called What Not to Wear. Any of you ever see that show? It's on TLC? Okay. It's on TLC, What Not to Wear. Is it still on? Okay, it's still on. It's on reruns. Okay. Well, the premise of the show, I believe I saw it once. The premise of the show, from what I recall, and those of you that have seen it more than once can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but is that people have these friends that tell this television show, my friend doesn't really know how to dress. God bless him. Hallelujah. And so they would come on the show, these friends that don't know how to dress would come on the show, and these experts would dress them, change their style. They change their hairstyle too and stuff. Change your hairstyle, makeup, you know, even the guys, and change their clothes and put them in clothes, you know, that work for them. The show I happened to see was this guy who was about my age, and still lived in the disco era, had on like lime green leisure pants and a silk patterned shirt and heavy gold chains around his neck and had the comb over and they straightened him up, you know, they showed him what not to wear, so that he got out of the 70s and at least into the new millennium. And it was nice. It was nice. You know, it's good to have friends like that that'll come along and say, you know what, you're not doing the best for what you can do. This is, you know, what not to wear. And the reason I talk about that is God's word and the people of God that really love us are like that for us, because we find ourselves wearing things that make us look bad. We find ourselves wearing things that cause us to be less than who we're called to be and limit the impact and the value of our lives. And see, the cool thing about godly people and about God's word is that it doesn't just hold up a mirror to you and say, boy, you're ugly. And that's the way some people believe God's word is. In all honesty, I mean, that's the way some people think God's word is just condemning all the time. It's just, you know, it's always going to tell me, you know, I'm not doing right, I'm not doing... No, it shows us what we're doing wrong so that we can become everything that we were meant to be. How many of you realize, if you're at a job or if you're playing sports And if you're afraid of people coming along and saying, you know what, if you want to be better at your job, or if you want to play this sport better, you need to do this, 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 and this. If you're afraid of that, you will never be better. God's word does that for us. It shows us, in effect, what not to wear. And the Apostle Paul goes on here, and here are the things that we put on that make us look bad, or that limit us, or keep us in bondage to our old dirty ways and our ugly clothes. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7.
So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you.
What does that say?
Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you.
Where are they?
Absolutely.
Are they lurking within us?
That's what it says.
There's the... You don't sound like you believe that, brother. Oh, God, please. I know he loves Fox's Pizza, but forgive him anyhow. The scripture says, Paul is writing once again to the church here. Oh, you're going to go out and buy Fox's Pizza today. I know that. Man, he just made me so hungry for Fox's Pizza. I can't stand it. The scripture, Paul is writing to the church, and he's saying, put away the things that lurk within you. Church, you got this stuff inside of you you got to deal with. Don't let it control you. Let the Holy Spirit control you. And now here's the list. He's throwing out this list of things lurking within us.
Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world.
He's saying you used to do these things on a regular basis when your life was part of the world. But don't do them anymore. Don't do them anymore. And we can read off this list and go, well, I don't do any of that stuff. Well, let me define what not to wear that makes you look bad. It limits who you are. It limits our value. It limits our impact in the world. When he says sexual immorality here, he's saying that that word, that phrase defined, encompasses pornography, premarital sex, adultery, incest, the desire for a sexual relationship that leaves you vulnerable and empty is what that should be there, and feeling unclean. Now, once again, this isn't a bunch of don'ts, okay? We were created for sex. I know you don't hear that from the pulpit very much, but we were. The scripture says, be fruitful and multiply. We were created to have joy in the lovemaking process. And what our culture has done is taken that and made it dirty. And cheapened it in so many people's lives to say, you know, just go out and have sex with as many people as you want and there's no ramifications. Yeah, there are. There's unwanted pregnancies. There is sexually transmitted disease. There is emotional damage that's done, you know, by all these things. And the Apostle Paul's saying, listen, God set up the purpose of sex so that, number one, a married couple would be able to know as close to what heaven is on earth as they can. Secondly, the children would have a mother and a father that will love them and be willing to lay down their lives for them. And so that you and your spouse would know what it is to have somebody that totally and completely believes in you, stands with you, supports you, and will always have your back in every situation. My job as a husband is to enable my wife to become the best woman of God that she possibly can be. And I'm committed to that 100%. Her job as my wife is to enable me to become the best man of God that I can be. And she's committed to that 100%. And I know that. And there is a peace and a strength that comes from that that you can't get in the world. And so when the Apostle Paul is saying sexual immorality is one of those things that damages you, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about, I don't want you to have fun. Let's keep this sterile. Let's become Puritans. And you know, once you get married, you can have sex once and then that's it. And hopefully you'll have 12 children from that one time. Yeah. What he's saying is that this should be about intimacy. Because he said, listen, the way that I love the church is like a husband should love his wife. And he's saying that great sacrifice, that great giving of yourself completely to another person is what I want you to have. I want you to understand how much I love you and what this love relationship is like. So those of you that are divorced or going through a divorce or going through, I want you to know that God's got a plan for you. If you've been divorced, if you're starting on your second marriage or third marriage or fifth marriage, I want you to know God's got a plan. Okay, if you're here and you're married, God's got a plan and He wants it to be great, and that's what we can all attain. Say with me, God wants it to be great. Okay. Now he goes on to say, impurity, which is uncleanness, mixed in desire, morally questionable or wrong. Anything that controls you that is not God, that is drugs, alcohol, fear, worry, etc. Thoughts, desires, or actions that leave you feeling guilty, dirty, or unfulfilled. Not God's design. See, when we allow anything to control us that is not God, and it does control us. You know, there are people, and you know, I don't want to be picking on you, but there are people here that are struggling financially because cigarettes control them. That, or needing to eat out all the time controls them. Or alcohol controls them. Or some other form of drugs control them. There are people that are struggling emotionally because of those things. And then fear controls them, or anxiety controls them, or worry controls you. And Jesus promises that we will have peace, not as the world gives. And yet we surrender ourselves to these things and we lose our peace. Please, I'm not picking on people who smoke or drink. We all have battles that we're facing. I'm just saying God's plan for you is up here. Don't settle. Don't settle, and realize that if you're struggling with any of those things, that God is saying, I want you to come up here. I can set you free. I can make you, I can help you. And you may have tried to quit 1,000 times. You may have tried to quit 1,000,000 times. Stop worrying. I mean, worry is one of those things that controls us more than anything else. And people have a hard time doing it. And God's saying, listen, if you will give it to me on a moment by moment, day by day basis, I will get you through it and I will teach you how not to worry. I haven't created you to worry. I've created you to be at peace. I haven't created you for a need for alcohol or a need for drugs or a need for cigarettes or cigars or pipe. I haven't created you for those things. I created you for a need for me. And let me fulfill you. Let me set you free. Once again, folks, if we're afraid of the Holy Spirit touching parts of our mind and our heart, then we'll never become everything that God has for us. Anything controls you that is not God is hurting you, because it doesn't have a plan for your good and for your hope. Lust, passions that leave you empty or feeling unclean or empty, a drive that takes you away from the plan of God. Anything that you desire more than God, anything that you're lusting after, and it, you know, we think about this as, you know, the opposite sex a lot, but what this applies to is things that we want that are uncontrolled. It's all we think about. You know, some of you, want to do well at your jobs, and that's not a bad thing. Some of you want to advance your careers. Some of you want to have the perfect husband, the perfect wife. Some of you want to have perfect kids, want to have a better college education, some kind of better education, not necessarily college. Some of you, and these are all wonderful things, but when they control you, when the drive is greater than your drive for God, then you're missing a point, because once again, Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Saying, listen, I've got the best plan for you. I gave you the dream to want to have that better job. I gave you the dream to want to have that better business. I gave you the dream to want to have that perfect spouse, that perfect kids, the greater education, the best health. I gave you that dream. But here's the deal. Put me first and watch me fulfill it. Evil desires, worthless, depraved longing for something that will only bring you empty fulfillment, such as vengeance, jealousy, envy, gossip, and lies. Folks, we wouldn't do these evil desire things if they didn't bring us a certain amount of joy. When we get hurt, when, you know, and there are people that identify themselves by their jealousy or by their envy. They're so used to being impoverished of spirit that they identify with being jealous of everyone else or envious of everyone else. There are people that are so used to being in pain that they enjoy vengeance. They enjoy when other people fail. And it really limits who you are, because you aren't controlled by those things. The Holy Spirit has so much more for you. He says He has exceeding and abundantly beyond all you can hope or ask. And if you're holding on to hurting this other person, if you're holding on to your jealousy or your gossip or your lies or your envy or your fears or your vengeance, it's really limiting what God has for you. Because remember, He wants you to have love, and He wants you to have joy, and He wants you to have peace and all these things. So when we're talking about starting fresh, let it go. Greed, uncontrolled lust for more, desires for more, more that only leaves you wanting more and does not fulfill. God wants to fulfill you. Greed causes you to want more and more and more. It's not enough. It's not enough that I've got four pairs of shoes. I need to have 15 pairs of shoes. It's not enough that I have one car. I need to have six cars. It's not enough that I've got one friend that panics if they don't have $100,000 in their savings account. It's like they become fearful and they freak out because I've only got $90,000 in my savings. That's not their 401k or their IRA. That's their savings, because they're in a bondage to greed. I'm not saying don't not plan. I'm telling you, you've heard me say people should plan and we should work and do the best we can and learn to invest and learn to do things like that. And God wants to bless you. And I'm not saying having 10 pairs of shoes is wrong or 27 cars is wrong. I'm just saying it's a matter of heart of what controls you. Okay? Somebody can have 27 cars and it's okay for them. And somebody can have two and it's damaging. It's a point of what controls me. God wants me to walk in peace and love and joy. Worshiping things of this world, placing anything as more important than God, trusting in the things of this world to fulfill or complete you instead of God. In our culture, we worship Hollywood. We worship sports figures. Why? I don't know. To be perfectly honest, it's one of those things I'm totally blind to. I don't understand it. Why someone is given voice to impact a nation when they have no understanding. Why someone can tell me that I need to get rid of my car that gets, 28 miles to the gallon, and they will fly their jet to tell me that. They can have their six homes heated with natural gas to tell me about injustice in Africa when they are spending $10,000 a day on cocaine. To tell me about injustice when they're cheating at their sport. Tell me about how unfair my politics is when they've never gotten their hands dirty with a child that's dying of HIV. Folks, we need to worship God and God alone. Anything else is idolatry. Enjoy sports. Enjoy your movies. I love a good movie. But it's for entertainment. It's just to let me relax. Some of you for sports, when I watch you watch it, it doesn't look very relaxing to me. Especially the last Steeler game. I don't know how any of you felt very relaxed about that. I don't get it. That's not relaxing to me. I literally have to leave the room. Paige will tell you, I have to leave the room sometimes. Because I can get caught up in it even though I don't like it. And I'm like, this is not good for me. This is not healthy. I'm not feeling very edified here watching this. Paul goes on to say, there's a few more things that are not who you are. And don't let them control you either. Verses 8 and 9. Pastor Gary.
But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds.
So how do we do it? How do we do this? How, you know, we've got so much of our flesh that's still alive. There's so many things that come our way. Even when we're guarding ourselves, something can happen and trigger reaction that we don't want to have. It's impossible, some of you will say, because the way I was raised, this is the way that all my friends are, this is the way I've got to be. See, here's the deal. When we came to God, one of the many benefits that he gave us is a new nature. When Adam and Eve sinned, God killed an animal and clothed them so that they wouldn't walk around in their being naked, that they would be clothed by a new nature because they realized what they were walking through. And God promises us a new nature to put on as well. Verses 10 and 11, Pastor Gary.
Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us.
Your heritage, your history, your family background don't mean a thing in the Lord. He is God of all, and he has given you a new nature. If we want to start fresh this year, we need to realize that we can no longer make excuses for the way we do things or why we've done things. We can no longer make excuses for living in the same old sin, for having the same old attitudes. It is time for us to put on the new nature and realize that the Apostle Paul said here, you have to put on the new nature. You come to Christ, but you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. Yeah, will you make it to heaven? I think you will. But you'll suffer through this life. You will have a mediocre and a hindered life with all this garbage that you're getting through, and you just get by on the sweet by and by. And when we get to heaven, God will be like, listen, you know what? I'm not condemning you, but this is what you could have had. But you refused to put on the new nature. And so you kept in bondage. And so Pastor Gary had to lead all those people to Christ that I was planning on you leading to Christ. And so we had Jamie minister life and healing to all these people that you could have been ministering life and healing to. We had Tim and Sherry that received all these blessings financially because they learned to trust me. And they walked in the new nature. They trusted me above all else. And so I could trust them above all else. There is a place of starting fresh that we can start today. And from this day on, you're held accountable for this word. That you must put on a new nature. Now, folks, is it going to be easy? No. Some of you have been living with bad attitudes for a long time. There's stuff that it took me years to work through, and there's stuff that, you know, I feel like I've arrived. I'm like, woohoo, all right, I got that conquered. And God says, okay, now it's time to deal with this. I'm like, but God, that's not fair. He's like, you're the one that prayed you wanted to be like me. Me and my big mouth. But he wants to get us there. And there's such joy and such freedom that comes with being a man and woman of God has called us to be. We when you hear his voice every moment of every day. When you can walk in peace in the middle of the storm when everybody else is freaked out. When there could be fires all around you and you can walk through them and not get burned. When the flood comes and he causes you to rise above it. When the power of God moves through you when it's impossible. When you see the impossible become possible on a daily basis. When breakthroughs begin to happen all around you. Folks, we need to remember that we aren't here living for ourselves. This church is not about me here to make you feel good for today. This church is about training you to change your world. If you're sick and wounded, we'll bring the healing to you. But then you get your marching orders to change the world. Because God has called us to be salt and to be light and to be life. We are not called to sit on our blessed assurance. We are called to be raised up to be ambassadors to change our world. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm called to change my world. Oh, that's a little quieter than I'm loved and I love, you know, you got to love me. Because I just want to sit in church. I don't want to change the world. I just want to be loved. Give me my bottle and change my diaper. Not going to happen here. There are some churches I can send you to. If that's what you want. Because that's what they're called to do. But here, you're called to change the world. Whether you believe it or not, God called you here because he believes you can change the world. And I believe you can change the world. And it's time to strip off the bondages and the sin and start fresh and start new. And to not give up. Let this message be about Christ in all its richness and fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. That's what you're called to do. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Everything you do or say. Say with me, everything I do and say. I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whether you want to be or not, you are. What Jesus are you showing people? Put that on your fridge. Put that on a dashboard of your car. Put that on the mirror that you see in the morning. What Jesus am I showing people? Giving thanks through him, the God, to God the Father. When you came to Christ, you have the freedom to start fresh. The early church battled the same things that you're battling. We're not called to live a life to be enslaved, to lust, to failures, to bondages, but a life of victory, overcoming, walking in and bringing others to freedom. That's what we're called to do. You are called to freedom. You are called to freedom. You are called to overcome. You are called to be more than a conqueror. You are called to be a victor, and that starts in your personal life. You cannot, if you were in a jail cell, you cannot tell the person in the jail cell next to you how to get free. But if you come out of that jail cell, you can explain to them, you know what? But I know what a mess you're in. I know too. But I'm still set free. It doesn't matter the battles I've got going on. I'm free. And I'm living a life of freedom. But you, do you know what the doctor says about you? Do you know what kind of battle you're going on with your spouse? Do you know what kind of battles you're going on at work? You don't have any money. What is it? How are you? What are you trying to do? Tell me about setting free. Listen. None of those things matter. Those are the circumstances that God can change in a moment. I'm free because Christ set me free. I'm a representative of the kingdom. Choose to allow Christ to live through you always. Choose today what you're going to wear. Wear the right things. Choose today to start fresh and to believe that you can and that you don't need to be in bondage. Let Christ live through you in all things. It's time for us to let go of the bondage. Is it going to be easy for some of you? No, it's not. well, that's not fair. Some of you have been battling with some of this stuff for a long time. But I tell you, you commit to it, and you'll change your world. You commit to it, and you'll change the world of people around you. Will it cost you? Yeah, it'll cost you everything. And God will give you everything in return. Let's stand. If the Holy Spirit's been talking to you this morning, and you know this battle's going on inside of you, then you know that God had you here at the right time. The battle is not a negative thing. The battle is not a bad thing. The battle is not something evil that you need to look at and say, get thee behind me, Satan. The battle is to say, woo-hoo, we got this problem. God, we're going to get it right. I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm tired of it controlling me. I want a fresh start. I want a fresh start. I want a do-over. Some of you have never realized that you could start fresh. You came to Christ, but you never heard a word like this. And you thought you had to do it. And this morning, you've heard that Christ will do it through you. All you got to do is give it to him. Give it to him. And then watch him. Then make that decision every day. I die daily. Make that decision every day. Just say, God, I'm giving it all to you today. Giving it all to you today. Just like forgiveness. Just like changing a habit. It's a daily thing. Like, God, I give it to you today. I'm not letting anything control me. Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the freedom. And Lord, I thank you for the bravery of some of the folks to realize, you know what? I don't have to be afraid of my problems. I don't have to be afraid of my struggles, my difficulties. I just need to give them to God. And this morning, Father, as they take the leap of faith to give them to you, Lord, let them be honest with themselves. Let them really give it all to you. Father, I pray that as people take that leap of faith, and as they come forward for prayer, Father, you meet them here. And Lord, you've already given them the tools to overcome. Let them walk in that freedom starting today. Father, I break double-mindedness. I break fear. I break intimidation. I break bondage. Because your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Lord, let your children walk free. And Lord, if there are any sick among us this morning, let them come to the altar, and Lord, as we lay hands on them, they'll be healed. Because a prayer of faith will heal the sick. So Father, I pray that you do that this morning as well. And Lord, as always as well, if there are any here that are underemployed or unemployed, Father, I pray as we pray for them that you will open up the job market for them. You'll let them be blessed, Lord, so they can walk in that freedom. Break off fear and worry from people, anxiety and depression, jealousy and envy, anger, lust, greed. Lord, let your people be free so they can set others free. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come if you need prayer.